William, give me your overview, if you can, about the Golden Motorcycle Gang.
Well, I don't know how much Jack has told you about how the story evolved, but, you know, Jack told me this story about 20 years ago when we first met, and I just fell in love with the story because, to me, it was more than a story. I actually think that there's a level on which the concept is literally true, and I just couldn't get the story out of my mind, and every time I saw Jack, I would say, Jack, have you ever thought about writing it into a book? And eventually, it was actually during an interview we did for Tapping the Source that he came out of his office and he said, well, you know, the Golden Motorcycle Gang has continued to be important to me, too. And he handed me a small replica of a Golden Motorcycle and said, okay, let's do it. And that was the beginning of, for me, creating the Golden Motorcycle Gang. I think that our shared goal is to inspire other people to realize that every single one of us is here for a purpose and that we're starting to connect with each other in the mutual goal of creating a planet that works for everyone.
And Jack, this mutual goal that we're all looking for, that William points out, how attainable is it?
Well, I think it's totally attainable. If it wasn't attainable, I wouldn't be working toward it. So I think that, you know, humanity is waking up. I really believe that. And I think that having a world, I mean, how believable was it that Mubarak would come down, or Gaddafi,
right,
or that Hitler would come down, or, you know, that the English would ever leave India, or apartheid would end in South Africa? Nobody thought any of that was possible. Martin Luther King thought we could end racism. We haven't done that, but we have a black president. So I think that it is possible.
Well, no doubt like that. You know, William, you represent a number of authors, including, of course, one of our friends, Neil Donald Walsh, who told us just an incredible story of how depressed he was in his car when, you know, this all started happening for him, this message that he got from mm-hmm. God. And what a dramatic story that was.
Absolutely. And Jack's story is equally dramatic in, you know, a less sort of sensational way than Neil's, but I think it's a story that everyone can connect with. You know, Jack started his life just like any normal person, and then through his own perseverance, you know, has really obtained a position where he's able to, you know, be in direct connection with hundreds of transformational leaders, and they in turn in touch with hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world. So I think that, you know, you don't have to be famous to have an impact. Neil wasn't famous. Jack wasn't famous. It's through their works and through their commitment to a higher purpose that they've become famous and they've become able to have a major impact. And I think part of the message of the Golden Motorcycle Gang is that everyone potentially can have a major impact. And it's not necessarily the people like Neil and Jack alone who become famous through their work, but just through everyday activities. And that's part of our real message in the Golden Motorcycle Gang.
William, we were talking about the law of attraction before you came on. And have you always been a believer in that as well?
Not always. I think that I practiced it without even knowing what it was. I've always had a very positive mental attitude, and I've always been very focused. And when I set my mind to achieve something, I kind of achieve it. And, you know, in the old days, I grew up like Jack, you know, very competitive, very much into sports, and with a lot of traditional discipline and training. And the difference today is that I realize that it's not all about me, and I use those same principles really to help other people. And in helping other people, I draw abundance to myself.
Fantastic. Well, let's talk about the Golden Motorcycle Gang and what people can do in order to tap into this and to learn. First of all, Jack, with you, tell me about the birthday. What is this? It's after the Mayan calendar date.
Yeah, everyone talks about the end of an age being December 21st, and on December 22nd, which is the day after, we thought, okay, if an age ends, then a new one starts, and we ought to celebrate that and use this date as an opportunity to really highlight all the things in the world that, in fact, are working. We believe that there's enough technology, enough information, enough awareness that's been developed to have the world work. We know how to grow food. We know how to distribute things. We know how to, you know, there are all kind of alternative economic systems that are working. People have created alternative currencies and so forth. So the information is there. It's just not being distributed by the mainstream media. So we have to find a way to celebrate all the things that are working and create a vision for the world we want to have so that everybody comes together in concerts, in workshops, in seminars, in gatherings in churches and universities, people's homes. And there's actually an organization now. You can go to birthday.com. And there's a group called the Shift Network that Stephen Dinan runs, working with Barbara, that's helping to coordinate all these organizations and the experiences around the world on December 22nd. So it's very exciting. I mean, literally back in 2000, we had almost a worldwide television day where everyone was talking about the millennium. And we think the same thing can happen with envisioning the kind of world we want and taking all of these conscious leaders and having them, you know, be leaders of these events and guide people toward talking about and coming to grips with individual behaviors and activities that they can engage in to bring around a global change.
Do you see this planet as good and bad, you know, good and evil, this constant battle? Is it out there?
Well, you know, someone once said that evil is just L-I-V-E spelled backwards.
Yeah.
So our shadow parts that have not been fully acknowledged, you know, they get repressed and they act out. You know, you were talking about pedophiles and earlier on saying, you know, people in prison is the one person you couldn't really get behind. And what they do is awful. But the fact is, there's this repressed sexuality that comes out in a very weird way. I mean, I worked with a lot of priests who were pedophiles, and they were made to be celibate long before they were ever supposed to be, and a lot of them were gay, and they had to repress that. And so it would come out in this very secretive way with people who were not threatening young children. You know, we see the whole thing with the scandal at Penn State right now going down as a result of that. So I believe that there is evil, but I think it's just misguided energy from the human being that's not channeled correctly. I don't think that there's an inherent, like, devil versus the, you know, the angels of God. That just doesn't sit right with me.
How about you, William?
Well, I pretty much agree with Jack. I think that there is evil in the world, obviously, but I don't think that the evil that we see is inherent in the human being. I think it has more to do with the programming and with a lot of misinformation that has been incorporated into many of our institutions, our educational system, our religious system, and that's part of the reason that we're in such an emergency situation right now. These systems are breaking down and they need to be replaced. We're in for some challenges here because you do have tens, if not hundreds of millions of people who have been programmed into beliefs that are not sustainable and that are hurtful to others. You know, we're going to have compassion as we make these changes, but we're also going to have to be strong and stand up to abuse and stand up to evil. So I think that on one level it is a battle, but it's a battle that ultimately good will triumph because good is the inherent nature in conscious evolution. And conscious evolution is a real force in the universe, and it is the true nature, not just of man, but of all of nature and of the principles that scientists, physicists are discovering in the way that matter is formed and evolved.
I think you're right. I think good does win in the end all the time. Sometimes it's a bumpy road to get there, but it does win.
Yeah, it takes a long time. I mean, you know, Gaddafi was in charge for 40 years. But what we found is that most of the dictators in the world, Anna Freud did a study, and as well Gloria Steinem wrote about it, that almost all the dictators, when you really go back and look at their childhoods, they were abused children. Hitler was abused by his Jewish housekeeper, which I think was one of the reasons he hated Jews. Stalin was beaten. The guy Saddam Hussein was beaten. And so, I mean, really beaten, to the point where he saw everyone as either for him or against him. If you weren't for him, you were automatically against him. You see everything in black and white. So I can take back most of the things that go on in the world that don't work are basically a result of either trauma or, as Bill said, just beliefs that are inaccurate.